Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to another episode of The Speakeasy on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find us all over the place. Basically, really, just all over the place. Ask anyone. They know about us. Right, Jack?
Yes, this is true.
So, speaking of Jack, to the conversation here, about 2 months ago or so, Jack came to me and said, I just got back from Louisville, Kentucky, and first of all, I was very jealous because I love going to Kentucky, and he said, I just went to this distillery that blew my mind, and they would be awesome to have on the show. And I was like, well, what'd they do? And he was like, dude, they just do the craziest stuff. And I was like, all right, well, expand on that a little bit more. And he's like, well, they do all these like crazy brandies. And I was like, done. I love brandy and I love crazy. So I'm very happy to have on the show today Joe Herron from Copper and Kings Distillery out of Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you very much, Damon. And thanks for the introduction, Jack.
You got to hang out with Jack when he was down there, right?
Sorry, what was that, Damon? I didn't hear you.
Oh, so you got to hang out with Jack when he was down there to visit, right?
I did. We had lots in common. We both like booze, and we both like shipping containers. So we were a perfect fit.
It sounds like a perfect pair to me. Because like we are currently, I'm in a couple of shipping containers right now here at the Heritage Radio Studios. And are you there on premise at the distillery?
I am. I'm sitting in the distillery. It's a bit of a chilly day in Louisville, Kentucky, so I feel a little cheated because I was expecting it never to be cold in Kentucky, but it is.
Well, you know what? We're in the same place right now because it is very chilly here in Brooklyn, New York, too. But at least Jack's got the heat pump in here in the studio, so it's a doable situation. Like I said, I'm very jealous that Jack got to visit the distillery, and I haven't gotten to yet. And what I know of the distillery is that, first of all, I love brandies. I love eau de vie. I am a huge fan of those style distillates, and I'm also a huge fan of just anything that's kind of, I wouldn't necessarily say cutting edge, but yes, but at the same time, just like different, you know. And you guys are definitely doing some very different stuff.
You know, I think that what we're trying to do, Damon, is to really put a stake in the ground for American brandy. Mm-hmm. So brandy that, you know, owes more to American cultural touch points like music and art and as well as obviously bourbon, and we're in Kentucky for that reason, and we age our distillate in bourbon barrels. So our sensibility is much more focused on what makes America great than taking a look across the ocean at what was a traditional style and a traditional approach. So, you know, we make copper pot distilled brandy, and we age it in bourbon barrels, and we dig music, and we like cocktails, and we like to experiment, and, you know, that's what makes America great, huh? You don't have to play by the rules.
Well, yes, exactly. We've definitely kind of proven that, right? I mean, the what's really cool about what I know of this distillery is that, I mean, it's basically, it's run by a lot of free-thinking artists that are still, like, keeping in mind the heritage of distillation and production of, like, really cool spirits. But it's, you know, you're in the heart of bourbon country, but you chose not to do, to not produce necessarily just bourbon. Like, a lot of people around that area in, like, Kentucky and Tennessee have kind of hold, you know, they tend to hold true to the traditional styles of whiskey making. But, you know, when you think back in the day, before we started producing so much whiskey, we were doing a lot more rum and brandy.
Of course. So if you look, well, even if you go back to the beginning, almost every farmer that settled America at some stage was a brandy distiller, because they had fruit orchards. Fruit doesn't keep, so you do your canning, you'd make your pies, you'd make your jams, and then you'd probably make some wine, and then you'd distill. So, you know, the distillation of brandy is as old as it gets on both the East and the West Coast. And, you know, I think something that people don't know is New Mexico was probably the original territory that had, you know, more Spanish-style brandy distillation down there. So, you know, it travels across the country. In terms of, you know, bourbon and whiskey distillation, you know, that market is very crowded, in our opinion. You know, if you look at, there's some wonderful stuff going on in the craft distilling up in New York, and we're big admirers of that. And then obviously we're in Kentucky, which is the heartland of American distillation. To us, you know, why take a knife to a gunfight? Huh? there's a lot of good whiskey out there. Whereas, you know, from the context of brandy, it seems like you had, you know, traditional inexpensive domestic brandy, and then you had traditional expensive imported brandy, and there was no modern American brand that sat there and said, "Hey, we're here too. We have good grapes, and you know, we're just down the road from Vendome, who make our pot stills, and in our opinion, make the best pot stills in the world."
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're beautiful.
Oh, pastels. They are the sexiest things. You can't, Damon. People walk in, and it's a little irritating to our distillers, because all they want, people want to do is touch it, and it leaves these big hand marks all over them, or they're hot, or you know, something. So they're gorgeous, and copper is so tactile and lovely. And I mean, our, you know, you're talking about our distillers and what it takes to work them. So we have a head distiller and a winemaker, and our assistant distiller Alan is an organic farmer. They're both mad crazy about music, and Alan actually sings to his stills, and he named him after women in Bob Dylan songs. So we have Isis, Magdalena, and Sarah, and he is actually a little besotted with them. So
that's, well, you know, it really befuddles me. I can't believe I haven't been in this distillery, because it sounds exactly the same way that I run my bars, man. Because it's always musically driven, you know. Actually, that's the whole reason why I got this show in the first place, because Patrick Martin's the founder of Heritage Foods and Heritage Radio, he was hanging out at my bar a lot, and we're talking about music and cocktails and spirits, and he was like, "Why don't you come and do a music show music and booze show, like an episode on his show?" And then the next day, it was like, "All right, you got to do your show." Which,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's nice.
But I think there's definitely like a huge connection between the two. You know, but the main connection I think is passion, and also kind of like figuring out the, like, finding the ways to express. You know, what's interesting to me about this distillery is that it's so off the beaten path, you know, like as far as like the style of distillates that you guys are doing. You know, it's, first of all, like domestically in the United States, there aren't too many brandy distilleries, you know, and I like you were saying, you're in the heartland of whiskey distillation, or just in distillation in general. And to kind of be defiant in that area is huge, first of all, but then to do to produce these different styles of distillates is exponentially crazier, you know.
you sound like everybody that looks at me and my wife Leslie and says, "You guys are doing brandy in bourbon country? Who does that? That's just nuts." I think Kentucky has Kentucky's at its best when it's zagging instead of zigging, and you can think of Muhammad Ali and boxing, and you can think of My Morning Jacket and rock and roll, and this city and the state are much more open-minded than people realize. It's a crazy state in terms of its independent outlook. So we came in, and suddenly everybody loves brandy in Kentucky, but they only like their brandy. They like us because we make brandy that's, very pure, unadulterated, and in truth, it tastes very much like a very, very smooth bourbon. So, I think that, it sounds crazy. It sounded crazy to me when we first started considering it, but it's turned out to be the perfect location to make an American-style brandy. And we're part of the Kentucky Distillers Association, and you'd expect them to be a bit standoffish, and it was quite the opposite. They all visit, all the distillers are visiting and excited that somebody's adding to that heritage as opposed to just piggybacking on the heritage. And I think that's probably important to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we go back in the history, even with, for instance, I guess the closest one to, talk about French brandies, cognacs, armagnacs, even Calvados, these are all defined regions and styles, but there's more to it than that. When you talk about even cocktails, it didn't just appear out of nowhere thousands of years ago that a whiskey sour was lemon and sugar and whiskey. It was something that took time to develop, and in the same way as the history of distillation and styles that are regional, it wasn't just a thing that everyone understood, and it was the overarching understanding. It was something that was built with time, and I think that's really cool. I mean, you think about this country, it's very young as far as the world goes, and to have so many defined styles around the world, we're still in our infancy. And to have a brandy distillery in the middle of bourbon territory, I mean, I don't see that being something that is a turnoff. Like you were saying, you've been well received, and I feel like there's a huge future in that. The things I get excited about nowadays, it's been for some time. I love brandies. I mean, I think it's, as a farmer and as someone who grew up on a farm, I love the preservation of the land and the crops, and I like preservation. That's why I collect antiques and records, and old guitars that I can't
even
play.
You're talking to the right people.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I'm gonna fly down there tonight, man.
No, you should. We'll have a meal in the basement.
Awesome.
Because that we play music to our barrels, so we sonically age our barrels. And when it first started out, it was, the context of it was quite peripheral. And we got a guy who designed a music system for really great music box. We have these giant subwoofers all around our maturation cellar that we can get to 120 decibels down in the cellar. So That would be kind of cool to go and sit down there and just and chill out. I tell you, you know what I think about American-style brandy? Because you're quite right. If you go to Europe, brandy styles are very defined. Cognac is cognac. Armagnac is a little more rustic and done in a little different way in Calvados in terms of apple brandy. I really hope that American brandy is not as rigid as that. I think that what makes craft beer so fabulous in the U.S. is that the styles are there, but the interpretation of style is very individual and unique. And for me, that's American, that we can interpret anything we want in the way that we want to do it, in the way that we think that will be appealing to people. And that variety and that character and personality is our gift, is our joy as a country, huh?
I think I totally agree because, yeah, you know, really, as far as distillation goes here, it's kind of like the Wild West, you know? It's kind of like no rules. And I think as long as we're responsible as a whole with the way that we distill and the way that we produce, you know, the way we brew, the way we make wine, and the way we make food and farm and everything, it's as long as we're doing it responsibly, there shouldn't be any rules outside of that as far as, like, distillation and brewing. It's like, let's get experimental. But as long as we're doing things responsibly, it should be totally cool.
Oh, I agree. And I don't think you'd find a more environmentally conscious group of people than brewers or winemakers or distillers, because we're dependent on agricultural produce. I mean, without a sustainable planet, we're screwed. And so for us, you know, we're not environmental activists by any stretch of imagination.
Yeah, you guys have a whole like solar aspect of your distillery too, right?
Yeah, we have solar, we have the shipping containers, we have a 4,300 square foot Monarch Butterfly way station. You know, those things are cool. They're important because they're about the planet and they're about beauty. You know, we're interested in that because, you know, I think people want to work in a place that not only makes good products, but is a good place to work and is concerned with its impact on everything, you know, in society. So, but, you know, I don't want to be, you know, I'm really no activist on that kind of stuff. We just would rather do small things that we can handle ourselves and for ourselves, and we really hope that that's a positive impact on the environment. And, you know, we try pretty hard, and hopefully we serve as a model that people say, geez, if those idiots can do it, well, I'm sure we can. You know what I mean? So, it's incredible fun, Damon. We're having a blast. I think that, you know, the juice is great. The music is great. Just being almost inside that culture is a lot of fun, huh? I
mean, absolutely.
This is my dream job, actually.
It sounds like it to me, and I'm kind of serious about hopping a flight tonight. But on that note, let's take
a bed. You're welcome.
Awesome. On that note, Joe, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back speaking about Copper and Kings Distillery out of Louisville, Kentucky. Back in a moment.
Today's break song is called Sunday Night Chicks by Mamarazzi. This is The Speakeasy.
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
And we are back. You're listening to Speakeasy. And today in the studio, well, on the phone, rather, I've got Joe Aaron from the awesome, awesome distillery, Copper and Kings, out of Louisville, Kentucky. And we've just been talking. Actually, you know, right before we broke, you said that you have a bed for me to sleep on when I come down there. I'm thinking, like, seriously, I might come down there tonight. But, I was thinking during the break, that quick break that we just had, that, you know, it seems like, you know, I absolutely love what I do for a living. You know, I love being a bartender, and I love running bars, and I love my customers, and I love, like, being hospitable to people, and it, and everything that comes along with it. You know, I love doing this radio show, and I love it all. And it seems like there's a lot of that kind of love inside your distillery. You know, you've got a lot of artists and musicians, and people are just, like, really into the spirits and the juice, as you say, you know, and, like, it must be just one of the most fantastic places to work.
You know, it is. And, you know, one of the things that we always said, Damon, was we were much more interested in being a community asset than a tourist attraction. So, you know, for us, you know, hosting charitable events, for us, there's a lot of joy in that. There's a lot of fun. You know, we have an art gallery that's pretty spectacular. And, you know, these are small startups. You know, we're not big, so you better like the people that you work with.
Of course.
Because you're close-knit and close proximity. You know, everybody's quite different, and, you know, I think Kentucky and Louisville's a very welcoming place. So, you know, the people that are now working with us, you know, there's no arrogance, there's no hubris to the people that work here. Everybody's got your back, and everybody's watching out and hoping you succeed as opposed to looking for you to fail, and that's a big deal, you know, when you start a business, and when you're trying to get off the ground, you know, there's no guarantees of success, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that brought me into the service industry in the first place, was that I saw the camaraderie, and that was something I could really get behind, you know, and I really appreciated, like, people working together in that way, and like you said, you know, just, like, really having each other's backs. But then at the same time, it was like, wow, well, that's someone I work with is a painter, and they're actually very talented. This one's a choreographer, you know, and this one's you know, a dancer, and this one's a musician, and, you know, like, this one's a comedian, like, and, you know, there are all these different, you know, this one's a writer, you know. There are so many different aspects of the art world. And one of the things that got me about, and still gets me to this day, is, like, when people who work for even, like, breweries, and, like, well, first of all, restaurants and bars, but, like, then, like, breweries and distilleries, like, a lot of times they still get asked sometimes, like, so what do you really do? It's like, oh, so you're a musician or, like, whatever. It's like, yeah, I am. I can do more than one thing, you know? And I think that's really cool. And it takes that kind of, like, attention and passion to get to start creating more, you know? And for a company like yours, you know, I always throw this into the hat, Stumptown Coffee. They have so many baristas and roasters, you know, for this coffee company. And there are a lot of musicians that work for them. And every year, at least, like, as far as I know, the last time I checked, they put out a compilation CD for the staff. Or I said CD. Jack, what am I doing? There's no CDs
anymore. Those things don't exist.
They don't exist anymore. But they put out a playlist of a lot of the baristas and people who work in Stumptown. They put out a compilation of songs of the people's bands who work for the company. And they record it and put it out. And it's so cool. And
that is really, really nice. Yeah, I love that.
It's so great. And it sounds like that's kind of what you guys are doing there with your art gallery. And, like, you've got so many artists, like, working there. And, like, and I mean, what's cool about that to me, too, is that, you know, you're indulging everyone's kind of, like, you know, experiencing and indulging in this great life, you know. It sounds like you've, like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say, you know, sounds like you've built a cult there.
It's not, but I would say that Leslie and I are far more interested in the eccentric than we are in the conformists. I think that if I think that combustion's very healthy until you get burned, but you don't get combustion without people bouncing off each other and doing that kind of stuff. So, you know, for us, people with character and personality, as you were just describing, I mean, if you look at a lion, you know, a lion kitchen, you know, with the cooks and the lion, they are all so diverse. You look at a bar, and the bartenders, that's what creates the experience and the environment, and new thinking. I mean, cocktails aren't just magicked out of nothing; they're magicked out of people who have imagination and. We're a nation of built on imagination, on big ideas. The big ideas happen from baristas to bartenders to guys who drive our forklift. Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, to be egalitarian is to be liberated, eh?
Absolutely, man. You know what's cool about this show today? We haven't even really talked about your spirits.
And I'm much more excited about everything that surrounds the spirit. Honestly, we're talking about being spirited versus spirits, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. I think it's really cool because, like, you know, first of all, Jack told me that he really loved the spirits. I haven't even gotten a chance to try them yet. But, you know what? My favorite flavor profile, like, for food, wine, beer, spirits, cocktails, is hospitality and just knowing, like, the vibe that you guys have, I'm already sold on it. But on that note, where can we pick this up? I mean, like, how many states are you in right now? Like, what's your distribution like? Where can people find it?
We're in 10 states for now. We started off, you know, in Kentucky and Tennessee, moved down to Tennessee, and then, you know, up through the Brandy Belt, which is Minnesota, Wisconsin, down through Chicago, Indiana. We just opened Georgia and the Carolinas, and we're going to be moving up east. And I'd say, you know, our ambition would be to get up to New York City probably by, you know, well, you'd have to get in before fall, so maybe August, September. And, you know, you have to plan these things. I mean, it's easier to sell crack, I think, than alcohol sometimes.
So, well, yeah.
There's certainly more licensing involved and more distributors to kind of corral together. But I'd say by the end of the year, we should be, you know, in about 23 or 24 states. And we're going from central east. I think what most people don't realize is that 75% of all brandy is drunk central to east in terms of time zone. Mm-hmm. They sort of expect it to be a Western phenomenon, but it's not.
I mean, I feel like we do a lot more here. You know, like, I mean, I know San Francisco was, like, huge on Pisco back in the day, but, like, I feel like, yeah, I mean, like, as far as brandy goes in the United States, we're definitely, like, you know, I mean, like, we do a lot of cool stuff on the east side. Yeah.
Oh, I think New York is a great town. We had Flavian and his crew from the Brandy Library were one of the first people to come and visit us a couple of weeks ago. you know, and they were very cool. I think New York is, if anything, open-minded. I mean, that's what builds the vibrancy. That's what builds certainly the hospitality industry there, which is about, you know, create experiences.
Yeah, I mean, we're so busy being mean to each other that, you know, every once in a while we're nice to each other.
People from out of town.
We go really big on being nice. The rest of the time, we're just dicks.
Joe, I got to jump in, though, and ask about some of those crazy, weirder things that you have aging down in the basement.
So we are barrel sluts, and we have definitely, you know, slept with a lot of wood. That's the truth. So we have a very oily gin aging in a juniper barrel right now from Serbia, which I think is going to be incredible. We're very, very proud of our absinthe. So absinthe is probably as much a signature for Copper and Kings as brandy is. And our first scale-up batch was a bit of a disaster. It came out with very, very heavy pepper. We use black pepper in our formulation, and it, you know, as we took it up in size, the stills behaved differently. It became so peppery as to, like, wow, this is going to be quite odd. And so we put it in Willet rye barrels. So that's aging in Willet rye barrels right now.
That's sounds great.
It's going to be great. We have absinthe in juniper barrels as well. We have absinthe in port barrels. We have brandy aging in tequila barrels, and so we're about to, in fall this year, we're going to be doing an apple brandy, which I think is going to be world famous. It will have a very heavy sherry finish, so we have 30-year-old Oloroso sherry casks in our basement, and so, you know, for us, it's you know, what can we do that can generate some kind of enthusiasm for, you know, distilling brandy in Kentucky. But also, I think our absinthe is gone back to the original roots of absinthe, which is using brandy as a base as opposed to grain neutral spirits. So our absinthe is very soft and oily, and it's gorgeous. And you know, one of the things we were just talking about, music, and for me, like, brandy's like a rock band. It has all that heft and structure of good rock and roll, but then it gets that little bit of Elvis in it. It's all curvy and got hips, and, you know, and it starts to groove. And that's what I love about brandy. It has everything you like about, you know, structure and heft, and with just the long, smooth finish, and that curvaceousness is pretty sexy stuff, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's like Exile on Main Street era Rolling Stones, you know?
Oh, perfect example. That's exactly it.
That's how I feel about it, bro.
Great example.
Man, it's been so nice talking to you. I know we're at the end of the show. I could talk to you forever, but it's cool because I'm gonna, you know, I think the flight's like maybe 3 hours down to Louisville. So yeah, I'll see you in 3 hours.
Yeah, I'm coming.
You can get there.
Jack's gonna ride shotgun with me.
Come visit anytime you want, Damon, and I'm gonna come visit you guys, and see what you're doing. And
absolutely. Well, I've got a place for you to stay if you got a place for me to stay. Hey. But here's the trade-off.
I'm always open to going to Brooklyn. You know that.
Absolutely. Here's the trade-off, though.
No rest till Brooklyn.
I've got one thing as a trade-off. I'm a lefty, so unless I fly with my guitar, if there's anyone in the distillery that plays left-handed guitar,
I will ask.
Just ask around. Ask around. But I got.
They're all pretty left wing, so you should be fine.
Well, we'll figure it out. But it's been a great pleasure to have you on the show today. The website is copperandandkings.com. It's a beautiful website, by the way. Everyone, check it out. Check out their products if it's in your state, or if not, try to figure out how to get it there, because that's the way we do things here in America. We're making crazy brandies, and we're finding ways to get them in our bars. Thanks again for being on the Speakeasy today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll talk soon. That's it for the Speakeasy today. Check in to heritageradionetwork.org for many, many more programs just like this one. Till next week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.